Good morning. Welcome to our study session for Thursday, May 19th, 2015. I'm Vice Mayor Dennis Kavanaugh. We will be excusing Mayor Giles and Councilmember Glover from our study session this morning. We're going to rearrange our schedule a little bit, and we're going to move into executive session first. Should be relatively short. Then we'll be back out to complete our regular study session agenda. So we will entertain a motion to go into executive session.
So moved.
Moving in second, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, that motion carries. We'll be back shortly, ladies and gentlemen. Okay, we're going to call our study session back to order. And before we move on the agenda items, I just would like to say a few words of thanks to our public safety personnel. Mesa Police Department, Mesa Fire and Medical did just an outstanding job yesterday working in under very difficult circumstances. And we experienced a great partnership with our neighboring law enforcement agencies as well. And as I told the press yesterday, this was a textbook example of a type of training that Mesa emphasizes. And the fact that Mesa trains with other law enforcement agencies, again, make communication much easier in a challenging situation. And I was on a number of national interviews yesterday, along with so-called experts in crime fighting, and all of them had nothing but praise for the work of our staff. And so I want to thank our public safety personnel. Also want to again express our condolences to the victims and their families for a tragic situation yesterday. But again, Chief Mesa, thank you for the work of your department. We appreciate that. First item on our agenda is to review our March 23rd, 2015 regular council meeting agenda. And items 2 through 3D, 3E through 4A, 4B through 4D, 4E and 4F. Again, these are procurement purchasing items.
Just regions. Just wanted to make one note on 4E. It's unusual to see that a contract be awarded to multiple vendors for periods of months and stuff. And I know that the report talked about a purchasing contract through Maricopa County. That had rotating vendors, is that, and that there would be bids on acquisitions for, if you could explain that just a little bit more, just for the record.
Vice Mayor, council members.
To answer your question, that is a Maricopa County contract for promotional items. Our current contractor had gone out of business, and the department still needed promotional items to make purchases. One of their areas in which they were looking to reduce some of their costs was to try and get multiple quotes. And through this contract, there's multiple providers. And as part of the contract, if there's any purchases above $2,500, that they must quote it amongst at least three of the vendors on that list, which they have several hundred vendors on there.
Okay. Thanks. That's all I wanted to make sure that we clarified.
Thank you.
We're bypassing any bid process.
Great. Next would be items 4G through 4I. 4J through 4L. 4M through 4O. 4P. through 5C, 5D through 7A. And with 7A, Council, we're going to have a presentation following review of this agenda. Mr. Westlake.
Yes, Council, Vice Mayor Kavanaugh, council members. Just wanted to point out on item 6A, there was a memo attached and the potential for getting legal protest on this particular item. Just want to let the council know that the time for submitting that has passed. We did not get any more signatures, so it does not have the legal protest with it.
Okay. Next would be items 8A through 9B.
Vice Mayor, again, with regard to items 9A and 9B, the Villages Country Club plat, I want to let the council know we're still working with the applicant on that particular project to get some final signatures and to finalize a couple of details in the development agreement. We hope to get those worked out before next Monday, but there's a possibility that we won't, in which case we'll let you know that on Monday, and we would need to pull this item from the agenda.
Very good. Very good. Any other questions on the agenda for Monday night? And we'll come back, and we're going to have a presentation on item 7A, which is the convenience store regulations. And as many of you on council know, this is an ordinance that the city adopted a number of years ago and has been working with the industry really over the past year or more on some amendments to it. And we're very pleased that our staff and the industry has been able to work together to bring this presentation to you. Chief Meza.
Good morning, Vice Mayor, Council. Today we're going to talk about some proposed changes to our city ordinance for convenience store, SEPTED. With me to my left is Tim McCabe. He's with the Arizona Food Marketing Alliance. And to my right is Patty Gallagher, who is a crime prevention officer for the police department. Just taking you back down memory lane, this ordinance was enacted in 2011 when it went into effect. Look at just some store fact numbers. In 2014, we have a total of 149 stores. 40 of those stores are required to meet all the security requirements of the ordinance that was enacted in 2011. If we reassess today, 5 of the original 42 stores now fall below the benchmark of 30 calls for service per month, and 3 additional stores now are over the benchmark, to give you a little bit of perspective. There's been several positive outcomes with the enactment of the ordinance. One of the major focuses was to reduce calls for service, which we have seen a reduction in calls for service, and I'll show you a slide of that in a minute. Better communication with the police department and the store management and store employees. Obviously, the communication has increased. And the ability for the police department to work with directly with the decision makers at the convenience stores. Additional positive outcomes. Obviously, our goal was to create a safer working environment for not only the employees, but also the customers that visit the stores. Big impact have been the need for the cameras and the requirements for the cameras. And we can give you some examples. A good example is, and if you want to talk about a couple of the examples that we had, where the cameras and the quality of the cameras have really led to the arrest of the suspects. Patty?
One of the first ones we had was a shooting arrest on West University. We were able to arrest the suspects almost immediately, and they had just installed their cameras about a week before that because of the ordinance. And had they not installed them, we would not have, you know, had what we needed, because they were exterior cameras. And this incident happened out in their parking lot. So, but we were able to get immediate response because we could look at the cameras and the video and see, you know, what had happened and who the suspect was. Plus, they were able to print out printouts of the actual suspect immediately for our officers to go out and take care of that.
So better quality of images, and then also the more timely to get the photos. Next slide, if you just concentrate on the percentage on the bottom, I'll talk about that. This is the change of percentage for calls for service from 2010 to 2014. We've seen an overall calls for service decrease of 34% at convenience stores. And this next one is pretty alarming. It's a 90% decrease of calls for service between the times of 2 in the morning till 6 a.m. That is your lock your beer hours, 90% decrease. Our arrests are up 33%. So when you see calls for service declining and your arrests increasing, that is a good ratio. And then citywide calls for service at convenience stores, we've seen a 30% decrease. As Vice Mayor Kavanaugh said at the opening, we've had several meetings with our stakeholders, specifically the Arizona Food Marketing Alliance, which Mr. McCabe is representative. We had a real hard push with our online reporting. We've had several meetings. We actually conducted training on how to navigate through the online reporting with several of the managers from all the different convenience stores, from all the different companies. One of the things that came out of our meeting was the ability to reassess, and I'm going to get into our recommendations, but the ability to reassess stores to see if stores are doing better, if stores are doing worse. That came out of the meetings. We also, there was some discussion about whether the lighting at the dumpsters, could we come up with some different security measures? And I'll discuss that here in the next slide. But the best thing that came out of our stakeholder meetings were that we are all in agreement, the police department and the Arizona Food Marketing Alliance, with the proposed changes that we're presenting to you today. Some of the major issues are the current ordinance does not allow us for reassessment to look at stores. Are they getting better? Are they getting worse? Do we need to add stores onto the requirement list? Or can stores come off of that? So the current ordinance does not have a reassessment tool attached to that. We also are going to be recommending the reassessment for every 2 years, and I'll clarify that here in a minute. But also, there's a lot in the ordinance that we're requesting for clarification of simplification of verbiage, and we're all in agreements with that. Next slide. Obviously, the wording changes make it simpler, make it more consistent with the way our ordinances are written, we are all in agreement with those changes. And you were given a cheat sheet, fact sheet of that.
In other words, not only attorneys can understand the ordinance with these changes, but the rest of us could too.
Exactly. One of the big changes that we all came in agreements was the wording for the ordinance requiring lighting at the refuse areas. We were able to put three different options for the stores. If they did not have lighting, they could change their policy that requires their employees not to go out to the refuse area during dark hours, and we were both in agreement with that. For the reassessing of the convenience stores, we agreed to reassess every 2 years to determine their calls for service. And stores with 30 or more calls for service in a four-year average would remain on the requirement list. And stores that had less than the 30 calls for service would drop off of the requirement list. What we also agreed was if a store was to be removed from the requirement list, but then eventually at the next reassessment came back on with 30 calls for service, they would be required to stay on the list for permanently. And we are all in agreement with that. So those are the big changes, really the reassessment aspect of the ordinance for us to, I think it gives us the ability to reward stores if they're doing better. It allows us, if stores are their crime is starting to increase, calls for service are increasing, that they would have to be required to meet all the security measures. So it allows us to be fluid.
Mr. Luna?
Chief Meza, is this voluntary participation, or is this a requirement as part of the ordinance for stores? Let's say I want to open a convenience store, not a Circle K or another type of store, as a private citizen wanting to open a store.
If your store is below the calls for service of 30 a month, then you would do it voluntarily. But if you were to be assessed and you showed that your store had above 30 calls for service, then you would be required. And any new builds are required to meet all the requirements of the ordinance.
For example, if you're constructing a whole new building, they would have to be in compliance.
You would have to be in compliance, yes.
We were concerned at the outset not to create undue hardship on the existing buildings that may have had peculiar design that made it difficult to meet all the requirements of the ordinance. Other questions? Mr. Fincher?
I'd love to hear from the industry. I know there's something going through at the state level that might try to preempt all this good work that's accomplished. And when you see these numbers, it's amazing. Looking at it from the city side of saving dollars, keeping safety around the sites and So, but how do you feel of what you're seeing here and maybe any perspective at the state level? Is this going to be all for naught?
Let me jump in as well. I've been watching that Senate bill 1069 as it's going through, and Mr. McCabe, as I read that bill, because we have an existing ordinance, I don't see it as applying to us, and I was just curious as to what your thoughts were with regard to how that bill, if passed, signed, how it would affect, how it could affect our existing code.
And yes, council members, it's hard to answer that question right now. I think there's some questions and controversy right now is involving charter cities, and if from what I understand, the definition to preempt for some cities that are already involved in this. There's another similar bill that's been proposed as well that's dealing with other things such as benchmarking and containers, and it's the same thing. There's other cities that are already in it. So I don't know the answer to that right now because I'm not sure what the impact would be, because a lot of it would be these things get changed daily of what gets added and is subtracted in some of these strikers. So I really don't know the answer to that.
Right. Certainly, at least as I saw it right now, there was a grandfather clause, basically, for existing codes and ordinances. And I suppose if that changes, obviously, that's an issue. Supreme Court, again, ruled in favor of charter cities again just the other day. So in my mind, that issue's decided that, that I don't believe there's an area that the state could regulate charter cities in this. So that's, I think we've heard the final word on that from the court, at least there, unless other people want to try to sue or the cities will sue. But I think there, that's pretty well settled. The grandfather clause seemed pretty clear to me as well as a former legislative council drafter, but I know what can happen at 3 a.m. when conference committees meet.
Yes, I agree. There's a lot in, Councilmember Finter, I guess in answer to your question about all of this, first off, I want to say that we appreciate the council and the chief, our ability or given the opportunity to work together on this. This has been, as most of you here know, this has been a long process. It's been about 5.5 years that we've been through from where we started to where we are today. And I will tell you that these, after being in this now for about 3.5 years, there were some things we realized you have to tweak some things. And these were two big areas that we felt were very much needed. One of the highest costs when we implemented this that we didn't realize is not so much a new build store, obviously, but these stores that needed to be retrofitted to put the lights at the dumpsters. That was a huge expense to retrofit that. But what we realized in several of these stores have policies that their employees are not allowed outside at night for obviously safety reasons. So working together with the chief and his team, we were able to provide some options, as the chief said, and that's very helpful as well, because that was a huge cost. And I think we realized that the importance of the lights, everything is important, but as Patty had mentioned, security cameras and other things are probably a little bit more important. Then the other idea, and I know we've talked about this at some prior meetings, was the if you're really trying to do good and you're really trying to do the right thing and the results show it, you should be rewarded and just not punished. It should go both ways. And with that, is the chief had said, there's been 5 stores that have done that in and unfortunately now there's 3 that are going to go on. I mean, it's just the way it is. But I think it's very good to be able to go to these 5 stores and tell them that you are going to be rewarded for, you know, really caring and doing some things to help change it. So, yes, I think it's been, honestly, I could sit here and I think you all understand representing our clients. Our industry is probably the most regulated industry in the world at all levels. And anytime there's any regulation from the start, we realized once this passed that the best interest was to try to make it the best for both businesses and the city. And I think through the chief and obviously through you as a council, you've given us the opportunity to work together. So I I thank you for that. And I want to take the opportunity also as well, representing a lot of folks in our industry here in Mesa, to all of you, Vice Mayor Kavanaugh, and to the chief, we're very proud of how you handled the situation yesterday in Mesa. It makes us all very proud. Thank you.
Someone, do you have another question? Oh, any other questions? Okay, it would be on consent agenda, I guess, for Monday night. So I just, again, want to compliment all of you on working on this, because remember, the purposes are to create a safer environment for employees, for customers, for public safety personnel. Also allows us to better allocate our public safety resources in terms of the calls for service. And the results over the last 4 years are very rewarding, and I think show a great example of how working together we can achieve those goals. So thank you very much. Any questions? Thank you. Next item is approval of minutes from our March 5th executive session.
So moved.
It's been moved and seconded by Ms. Fincher. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, motion carries. Item number 3, information pertaining to job order contract projects. And I saw Ms. Huning is there to answer all your questions. But we're going to let her off easy again.
Appreciate the list, though.
Thank you. We really do appreciate receiving that information on a timely basis. I know many of us can call or email and ask questions ahead of time, so thank you. Item 4, here reports on meetings or conferences attended. Mr. Luna?
I'm proud to say that we had a groundbreaking for SDI on Monday, and it was quite successful. We're going to have hopefully 175 new people working there, so that's really exciting, and it's a district requirement, so I'm very proud of that.
Great. Anyone else? Okay. Scheduling of meetings and general information.
Thank you, Vice Mayor. Just a reminder, the next council meeting will be Monday, March 23rd. But also this weekend, we have lots of activities going on. This Saturday, March 21st, we have the grand opening of Mariposa Park, which is located at 2351 South Hawes Road. So that's Hawes between Guadalupe and Baseline. A new park there. That ceremony will be, ribbon cutting ceremony will be at 9 a.m. this Saturday. And also, just a reminder, this week we have Spark, Mesa's Festival of Creativity. So it's currently going on at the Mesa Arts Center. And this will continue through Saturday, March 21st. And it is a free festival. So we encourage everyone to come out. Thank you.
Thank you. And our study session this morning will be followed by a Sustainability and Transportation Committee meeting headed by Chair Thompson. And so no further business for the study session. Is there a motion to adjourn?
So
all in favor say aye.
Aye.
We are adjourned. Thank you.